Today is about new starts that lead to a process of change. And I have a confession to make. I'm not keen on new things. I mean, I don't even have a mobile phone, let alone a computer or anything else. But when I was at school, I never liked, especially at grammar school, changing years, because you had to change to a whole load of new teachers. And Christmas exams, I tended to do badly in. Unless, once there was a sheer fluke, and I came second in chemistry, a subject that I'd neither understood, liked, or anything else. And I have a confession to make as well. There are a couple of occasions when I cheated. They say confession is good for the soul. We had one teacher who said, right, mark your own. Well, we had two who said mark your own, and one I was scribbling the right answers in. And the other one, we didn't mark our own. And the chap sitting next to me, again, this was chemistry. And we only got halfway through marking it during the lesson. And it was painfully clear when he gave it back to me that I was not doing very well. But I thought, right, well, we'll finish marking it next lesson. So I might well be able to fiddle it that I'm sitting next to somebody different. So, of course, I redid the test at home, you know. Didn't dare let Mum know. I'd have got shot. And in the next lesson, of course, we're sitting next to somebody different. I took along the old test as well, of course, in case I had to sit next to her, we'd say. And I did rather well in that. It wasn't the best thing to do. It's been bugging me ever since, Charlie. But now new starts, of course, lead to a process of change, don't they? And it's quite interesting. At Lloyd's Pharmacy at the moment, in the Brick Hill Drive shops, it says, leave the old you behind. Now, I think it's to do with giving up smoking or something like that. But it does suggest that if you leave the old you behind, there must be a new you somewhere down the future. And it set me thinking about changes and new starts. New starts can be exciting and encouraging. Or they can, of course, be challenging and puzzling if things don't actually work out very well. If you read again what we read in Genesis, it's clear that what God did then and wants to do is start a process of change that sort of brings order out of chaos. You know, there's light created out of darkness and they're separated. And it seems to me that if we can create order out of chaos, it's a pretty good thing. Whether it's on a large scale like the world economy, or the Eurozone, or Egypt, or Syria, or whatever, or indeed in individual lives. Because some people do have fairly chaotic lives, and I don't know about yours, but mine is chaotic from time to time. Things don't always go very well. It'd be nice to sort it out, and perhaps God can get busy there. And in the reading, in our gospel reading about Jesus' baptism, of course, at the beginning of his ministry, God says to him, you're my dear son, you know, I love you. And what Jesus then did was to call people to follow him, to leave the old you behind. So they did literally, some of them, follow him. And it made a big difference to their lives. So, for instance, we had Peter and Paul and Zacchaeus, you know, the tax collector up a tree who met Jesus, an adulteress who met Jesus, the deranged, the blind, ordinary people met Jesus, and he called them to leave the old new behind, and they discovered that if they did respond to him, then their lives progressively were changed. They were never quite the same again. And it must have been pretty exciting for them, especially for the friends of Jesus who were with him all the time, to see what he said and what he did. It must have been tremendously encouraging. And it all culminated, of course, in Jesus' death and resurrection, when the final stronghold, the ultimate sort of chaos of all, death, was overcome, was defeated when Jesus rose from the dead. And that had an enormous impact on some of the disciples. They became communities of love that attracted the goodwill of the community, who were able to say of the Christians, see how they love one another. That's not to say that there weren't still elements of chaos and challenge and puzzle. Not everybody responded to Jesus' teaching. Some of his friends, the ones who were with him for 3 years, argued among themselves over who was going to be, who was the best, who was the greatest. Peter, who Jesus said, you'll be the main rock of everybody, he ended up denying that he'd ever clapped eyes on Jesus. That's after 3 years with him, which is pretty rich when you think about it. So it wasn't wonderful. And then, writing to one of the churches that he'd founded, a group of Christians in Corinth, about 30 years after, Paul said, now this is a church like us, a community of good, loving people. He said to them, he pointed out that there was immorality between church members. People were sleeping around with each other. They were taking out lawsuits against each other. They were getting drunk at Holy Communion services. And he said the ultimate sum was that their services of worship did more harm than good. That's a pretty damning indictment. You couldn't make it up if you tried, really. So not everything was wonderful. And yet God continued to want to lead these people on, to love them and to work through them. Because down the line now, 2,000 years later, thanks to their and others' witness, Christianity has spread over the whole world to 2 billion people and growing faster than any of the world religions. And, you know, it has made a tremendous difference in the world. But I want to bring the clock fast forward to 1983, when I became pastor of the Baptist Chapel in Thurlow. Because it was a new start for me, and it was a new start for them. So how did we make out? Well, there were lots of things that were encouraging and exciting. People, some unlikely people came to the chapel. I met a lady who just moved into the village and said, nice to see you. She said, the first thing she said was, I'd like to talk to you about becoming a Christian. You could have knocked me over with a feather, actually. People don't normally say that, which was interesting. And she came and she became a church member. Other people came and discovered that they were able to leave the old you behind. Joan Crossley, who some of you know, was a trainee vicar in the village at the time, and we planned lots of united services involving children, Mothering Sunday and harvests and school services and things like that. And lots of people came and lots of parents. And there was goodwill towards us and the parish church people. It was an encouraging time. But as well as all that, we had two large church families who split up. There was divorce. And they left. It was a bit messy. And that took away about 30% of our congregation at the time. You know, in at a stroke. We had someone who had a breakdown. We had two suicides in families loosely connected with the fellowship. And that was very puzzling and very distressing. And some people thought that it reflected shame on us and were very cross. And that was not a good time. And then our church secretary's daughter, in her 30s, had had a rough time in her life at work, had gone away to live in Cambridge, I think it was, and had got her life back on track, had begun to go to a local church there, begin to explore leaving her old self behind, exploring the Christian faith. And one morning she went out and got killed in a car crash. And you think, order out of chaos, new start, very, very serious puzzles. You can't sweep them under the carpet. There were people who said, oh, well, of course, it's God's will. Well, that makes him pretty much of an ogre. I mean, no parent would will that on their child. Some people, of course, said God sends those things. That's even worse. He should be locked up for a long time as an ogre if he does that. I don't think the church secretary and his wife were ever quite the same again after their daughter was killed. And who can blame them, really? But we got through because God's love turned out to be strong enough, even in all this mess and swirling around, to enable us to leave the old you behind. But we echoed what Paul said in one of his letters, that now we only see puzzling reflections in a mirror. And we only know in part, because we did only know puzzling reflections in a mirror. We didn't understand them. Paul does say, but then, of course, one day we shall actually see clearly face to face, which sort of encourages you a bit. But then Paul went on to say, we are his co-workers. And that set me thinking. I mean, that's pretty scary. With God, the creator of the universe, saying that we are his co-workers. I mean, he knows our failings, our frailties, we're warts and all, and everything we do. But he calls us his co-workers to work with him in bringing order out of chaos. We don't really know what the final outcome will be. Not in detail. A few pictures in the Bible about, you know, streets of gold and everything else like that. But we do know that in the Lord's Prayer, that we shall no doubt say towards the end of the service, we actually pray that God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And there's an awful long way to go, isn't there, before that becomes reality. But perhaps we're on the way, we and the 2 billion other Christians in the world. Charlie said just before Christmas, he was preaching about Mary, and he said that the message to us today is the same as it was to Mary then. Don't be afraid. God is with you. Nothing is impossible for God. Very simple question is, of course, whether we believe, nearly 2,000 years later, those words, whether we believe them enough to act on them, whether we believe in them enough to bet our lives on them. I reckon, you know, ultimately, that's for our world and for our lives, it's God's love or bust. I don't believe there's anything other than God's love that can transform radically the situation. Everything else, I think, is tinkering around with it. So if we don't have a new start, we're going down the pan pretty quickly, aren't we? Economically and everything else. But God calls us to be, you and me, he calls to be his co-workers. And I reckon if he is powerful enough to have raised Jesus from the dead, then he can take us and he can enable us to leave the old you behind and to work with him to bring this new start and this process of transformation. If you've never thought about doing it before, well, it's near the beginning of a new year. It's been Harry's baptism, new start. How about by God's grace, a new start, a new exploration for all of us. Starting now. Amen.